Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? As a kid growing up, I was taught a song. Read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Now, this came with body motion. So you started like all curled up and you grew, grew, grew as you went. But the second verse of the song was, don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. I was told to read my Bible and pray every day. No one ever told me how. And this is, we're going to be talking about spiritual growth today and what it means to kind of tuck into a life with Jesus. But one day, as I was trying to read my Bible and pray every day, I was reading a passage like the one that we had from Romans today, which we'll come back to in a minute. And I realized that it was full of commands. Paul is using the "you should do this" kind of language. And I thought that maybe I should write a little C above every one of the commands in this passage that I had found. And it wasn't long before I was looking at several dozen C's staring back at me, and I felt lost. How was I ever going to live up to this? What was I going to do? So the question that I want to ask and I want us to ask is, how do we know we are growing spiritually? How do we know that we are on our way? And we're going to do that by jumping into Matthew, Exodus, and Romans. So a couple of ways that we tend to think about growing spiritually is that growing spiritually is learning new things about God or having experiences of God. So the first thing is, how do we know we are growing spiritually? Is it by learning new things about God? So in our gospel passage today, Matthew writes, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This reading follows straight on from the one that we had last week. Peter made his confession. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus responds, wow, you are Peter, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. He gives the church the power of the keys, and now it seems like they are ready. Peter is ready. The disciples are ready to receive the revelation of how Jesus is going to be this Messiah. And he tells them at the beginning of our passage this morning that the Messiah must suffer, die, and rise again. And Peter won't have any of it. This is not what he thought he was signing up for. Now, he had realized something new about Jesus, right? He had learned something. He had explained this. He had said it. He had made his confession. But it wasn't enough. He couldn't rest there. It wasn't enough to keep growing. What was necessary? Jesus says, taking up the cross and following Jesus. Now, plenty of us believe that spiritual growth is all about learning new facts about God. We think that we're growing if we are constantly studying, like study is somehow the same as spiritual growth. Now, I'm not trying to say that study is somehow not part of spiritual growth, because it is. Learning new things about God is absolutely necessary for spiritual growth, but it's not sufficient for it. It doesn't do it all on its own. We only know we're growing if we're being moved to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But what about spiritual experiences? So turning now to Exodus, Moses was keeping his father-in-law's flock. He walks by the mountain of God and sees something amazing, a bush that's burning, but not burning up. He turns aside to see what's happening, and there he meets God. He steps onto holy ground. God reveals his secret name to Moses, then gives Moses a task to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Now, Moses has just had an incredible spiritual experience. God has shown up personally. He has just seen through the bush the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has stepped onto ground made holy by God's presence. Now, plenty of us believe that spiritual growth is all about having spiritual experiences of God. And I'm growing if I'm continuing to have more and deeper of these experiences. Plenty of us, including me at various points in my life, after meeting God like this, would ignore the scary part, the taking up the cross and going down to Egypt part, and come back the next day to see if the bush was still burning. But experiences of God's presence are not enough to see that we are growing spiritually. You can have a burning bush experience every day of your life and never grow spiritually. Because we're only growing if we take up the cross to follow God into Egypt, where people need setting free. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about ascetical theology, the theology of prayer and spiritual growth. And I'm going to dip back into that for a moment, because ascetical theology noticed a basic pattern. When Christians devote themselves to God in personal prayer and public worship, they might learn more. They might have spiritual experiences. In fact, we expect both of those things, but growth cannot be measured by these things. Growth is measured, as our collect reminds us this morning, by the fruit in our lives. By participating in the church's mission, as we talked about last week, through public worship and personal prayer, the growth we have comes as a gift. You know, you can have a fruit tree in your backyard, you can tend it, you can water it, but you know what you can't do? You cannot force it to make fruit. You can do all these things around it, but the fruit is always a gift. We see it. We see this growth when we examine our consciences, when we compare where we are to where we were, say, a year ago, and ask, has my desire changed? Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago about the will, this deepest part of our soul, where we desire things. And the transformation that God is after is the transformation of our will. Am I wanting more of God? Am I putting away my sin? Am I putting on the habits of righteousness? So basically, we can measure spiritual growth by looking at a passage like the one from Romans today and asking, am I more like this than I was a year ago? Or not? Now, this is important. Spiritual growth isn't about trying harder to be good. This is not some kind of earn your way to Jesus kind of understanding of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth starts when we devote ourselves to personal prayer and public worship. When we respond to God in thanksgiving, this is how it starts, and growth comes as a gift. Now, I wonder, do you remember this optical illusion? I did this a lot in school. You draw a box, right? And then you draw another box, and then you connect the corners. Is this ringing a bell? And sometimes, depending on how you're looking at it, it looks like it's facing this way. And then other times it looks like it's facing that way, right? This passage is like that. You can see it pointing down and to the right, as I did, trying to read my Bible and pray every day, as a wall of C's, a wall of commands, staring back at you. Or you can see it pointing up and to the left, showing you what's possible and what God desires for you in your life. What would we call someone who consistently lived this passage? a saint. No one gets mad at a sapling that hasn't yet become a 100-year-old oak tree. No one gets mad at a sapling for not being a full-grown tree. Passages like this are roadmaps for our growth. So we squint our eyes until we can see it pointing up and to the left. Then we ask ourselves in this act of self-examination, is our love more genuine this year than last? Are we removing ourselves, hating evil, and holding fast to what is good? Are we loving one another with mutual affection, outdoing one another in showing honor? Are we more zealous this year than last, being more faithful in personal prayer and public worship? Are we more likely to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer? This year, are we more likely to contribute money to support the saints, or more likely to extend hospitality to people we don't know, especially those we find strange or off-putting? Are we more likely to bless those who persecute us, to bless them and not curse them? You could ask these same kinds of questions for this whole passage. And in general, if we can say yes, I am more likely to do even just one of these things more often than I did a year ago, then you can rejoice. This is fruit. This is God's grace at work in your life, slowly transforming your heart so that you desire what God desires, taking up your cross to follow him into Egypt, where people need setting free. Now, I said already, though, that spiritual growth isn't trying harder to be good. If you look at this passage and think, gosh, I'm not doing a very good job, you're looking at the box pointing down and not up, the answer isn't to try harder. I want to underline that. The answer isn't to try harder. The answer is, if you're feeling guilty for something on this list, is just to say you're sorry. Apologize to God. This is an act of personal prayer. It's baked into our public worship every week. And then devote yourself even more to personal prayer and public worship. As we devote ourselves to God, as we love him with our time and energy, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the fruit of love of neighbor grows naturally along the way. Spiritual growth is not measured by learning more about God or having spiritual experiences of God, but by the steady growth away from sin and towards the good God has for each of us. God calls us to public worship and personal prayer to feed us, to give us his grace, to let us know and feel and receive his love. So I invite you to receive that grace in the Eucharist today. If you're feeling sorry for something today, that's a sign of spiritual growth. Isn't that weird? When you're feeling sorry for something, that means you're actually growing. You can rejoice. Bring that sorrow and confess that thing during the confession of sin. If you're feeling the desire to deepen your devotion to God in personal prayer and public worship, make that commitment to God after you take communion today. If you're feeling empowered for taking up your cross in a new way, receive that empowerment at the blessing at the end of the service and then be sent out to love and serve the Lord. Now, I wish I could go back in time and tell my high school self that spiritual growth isn't something that he needs to force, but something that he can accept as a gift. That God loves him more than he can love himself, that he can rejoice in the small signs of growth that he sees day to day. But I can't do that. So I'll tell you. Accept growth as a gift. God loves you more than you can love yourself. Rejoice in the small signs of growth you see day to day. Friends, receive that grace today. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.